We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
While Chicago adjusts to working at home, the score is there for you.
I appreciate the tone that you guys have taken and wish more would follow suit. Keep it up.
You guys give us a chance to take a break, and that's what we all need right now.
Thank you for the distraction from the coronavirus. I appreciate what you guys are doing.
We are Chicago's number one sports station, 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Mully and Hall, up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
Bears, 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 football, football, football.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
The Panthers officially released Cam Newton. If no market develops for Newton, would you try signing him to a one-year deal for as little as possible if you're the Bears? And may the best quarterback win? And should the Bears have waited?
This is all I need to know about Cam Newton. I understand that he had a special physical conducted earlier this week and he was cleared. But if he was ready to go, I think Ron Rivera in Washington would have taken a chance on him. Ron Rivera gave up a draft pick for Kyle Allen, knowing that Cam Newton was going to come pop loose a couple days later this week. And still, they went for Kyle Allen because Cam Newton has all sorts of injury issues that I think that if his former head coach stays away from him, that tells you everything you need to know. I don't really think it's worth the Bears looking into this. I don't think they should have waited.
Mully and Hall.
I get a kick out of you guys.
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
Mel Kiper's mock draft for ESPN projected 6 offensive tackles going in the first round, but no tight ends and only one safety. If you are Ryan Pace, do you hope that a tight end with a first round grade falls to you?
You have 2 picks in the second round. You need to get somebody opposite Allen Robinson that puts a little fear into a defense. And as we saw last year, you can find those wide receivers in the second round. I know Chuck Pagano is high on Deion Bush. I just can't imagine that the plan heading into the season is to have Deion Bush as one of the starting safeties next to Eddie Jackson. And then when you look at the second round picks over the years, James Daniels, Anthony Miller, Adam Shaheen, Cody Whitehair, Eddie Goldman, those are the second round picks over the years under Ryan Pace. So if you correctly identify guys, you can have players that definitely have a major impact on your football team.
Mully and Hall.
It's a hell of a team.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Zach Zabin in for Mully this week. And Zach, we talked to Brad Biggs, and we've been talking about the NFL and really looking forward to talking to Dave Wonsett at 7:20 because we haven't talked to Wani in a while. Wonder how he is coping with everything the way that everybody else is making the best of this. We're still talking sports. You are at your place. I'm at mine, and we are sort of dispersed. And, you know, obviously social distancing is something we're practicing each and every day. We can still talk sports. There's still issues out there. The NFL made some news last night in terms of the general manager's recommendation to the National Football League that they move the draft back from April 23rd. The Bears speculation continues and persists. And as we heard in the intro there, Cam Newton is on the market. Cam Newton is a free agent released by the Carolina Panthers. But Cam Newton is a guy that I don't think makes a lot of sense for the Chicago Bears for various reasons, but the biggest one being I don't know how healthy he is. I don't really think the Bears and teams will trust necessarily the medical or physical that he received earlier this week.
And I think they made their big move for Nick Foles. What makes more sense? Patriots, Chargers. Those are the two most likely landing spots, if you ask me, for a Cam Newton.
Yeah, I just think right now teams aren't sure of what kind of player he is, how much he's got left, if he's truly healthy, because he hasn't been the Cam Newton that you remember. I'm talking about the guy who was an MVP player that helped lead the Carolina Panthers to the Super Bowl a few years back after John Fox left Denver. And I think that, to me, you can't take a chance in this climate on a player that you can't test medically. And it's a unique situation in the NFL from the standpoint that there are a number of players who have had a little bit of success over the course of their careers, whether it's Cam Newton or Andy Dalton, who has led the Bengals to the playoffs a few times, a guy in Jameis Winston who is so young, and there's a lot of good to Jameis Winston on the field, but there's also a lot of bad, and the guy's still in his mid-20s, but all the spots have been taken in this game of quarterback musical chairs.
Not yet. I mean, really, do you think the Chargers feel good about the fact, okay, there are a couple realities in play here. Number one, they lost Phillip Rivers, and Tyrod Taylor is their incumbent now. It was the guy that is coming back as the starter. They draft sixth. Now, you saw the Tua tape, and you've been referenced that a couple of times. You fell in love with that video. You'd love to see the left-hander looking as smooth as Tua did the other day, working out, and he looked healthy. So if you're the Chargers, you haven't gotten your guy yet. You haven't gotten your answer. So if you are compelled to have to fill a 70,000-seat new stadium in a market that doesn't really care about you as it is, you've got to give them a reason to go to the game. You're not the Rams. You're the San Diego Chargers in the eyes of many people.
So I'm going to spend big money in a tough financial climate to go watch Cam Newton for what he was 5-6 years ago, as opposed to what he is now, a guy who probably can't throw and a guy who probably can't run because of the two surgeries to the shoulder and the foot injury. That's going to make me come and watch the football game? I mean, come on.
Cam Newton is good theater. Cam Newton is an entertainer. Cam Newton in L.A. makes a lot more sense than he does in a lot of places, because I'm not saying you're going to get Cam Newton MVP, but aren't you immediately curious if you are a Chargers fan, if you sign a guy that has his past and his potential? I know for the reasons that I stated the Bears should stay away, there's high risk involved. But I'm saying this, if you pair him with the Chargers draft sixth, they could move up to get Tua if they really want Tua. You draft Tua and you sign Cam Newton to a team-friendly deal, all of a sudden, you are a very interesting football team, much more than you are right now.
But then he's got to learn the offense, but you can't practice the offense because of the situation that we're in right now. For example, if the Bears today announced that they're signing Cam Newton, how many people do you think are picking up the phone or going to the computer and immediately getting tickets because Cam Newton has been signed by the Bears?
I think it's a different market. I think it's a bad comparison because
the LA Chargers just said goodbye to the best quarterback that they've had since Dan Fouts, right? In Phillip Rivers. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I don't think anyone is going to pick up the phone or go to the computer and start buying tickets for Cam Newton. Obviously, Tyrod Taylor is not a guy that you would do that for either. But at least Tyrod Taylor has familiarity with Anthony Lynn and what he likes to do, not just with the Chargers, but also with their years in Buffalo together. You draft a young quarterback, you allow that quarterback to develop, and who knows, by the end of the year, maybe that hotshot young quarterback, if it is Tua, gets an opportunity to play. What's wrong with that? I think that's a much better option than bringing in Cam Newton. And if I'm Cam Newton, I don't want to go to L.A. and play for the Chargers.
Yeah.
If I'm Cam Newton, I would put myself in a situation where if the starting quarterback on a good team gets banged up, I have an opportunity to play right away, whether it's in San Francisco, Dallas, Green Bay. I think because there is, dare I say it, I don't know if the word surplus is the right word to use, but clearly there are more quarterbacks than spots available. So if I'm a quarterback who believes in myself, take less money and a team-friendly deal and put yourself in a position where if things work out, maybe you have an opportunity to play because of injury on a team that can have success immediately, right? That's how I would look at it from Newton's vantage
point. Yeah, okay, we're disagreeing a lot today, Zach. I don't know if it's because you're stir-crazy, but I think you're being disagreeable this morning.
I think I'm making sense to a certain degree. I mean, not more than I usually do, but they do call me the ginger hair genius.
No, you are. I'm just kidding. But look, okay, so you look around the league, and your point about the quarterbacks is a good one. It also makes me think of how many quarterbacks have changed jobs and have changed teams. We heard from Marcus Mariota yesterday out in Las Vegas. We heard from Tom Brady, and I think that his teleconference with Tampa reporters was actually carried live on ESPN, I think I read. I did not see that, but I think I read about that. We've heard from a lot of guys who have changed teams. When are we going to hear from Nick Foles? Wouldn't you love to hear from Nick Foles to see what he thinks about getting traded to the Bears and being reunited with Matt Nagy and Flip and Bill Lazor and all these things? I don't want to read his book before I hear from him, you know, in person. That would be nice to get a teleconference set up with Nick Foles. Maybe a Zoom meeting would do. Something like that.
You know, I think the interesting thing about Foles compared to some of the other guys that you talked about, Tom Brady is the undisputed starter in Tampa Bay. He was not brought there to be a backup. When you look at the Las Vegas situation with the Raiders, Marcus Mariota is coming in as the number two. He's not the starter. He may eventually end up being the starter, but it's clear there's a hierarchy that Derek Carr is the starting quarterback as of right now, and Mariota is the backup. The thing with Foles is you don't know if that's the case. I think there's a belief based on the people that I've talked to that Mitchell Trubisky gets first crack at the job. But if you don't see the improvement that you need to see, or you're losing games because of the quarterback position, then I believe Nick Foles immediately gets the opportunity. It's not going to be one of those situations where they wait. But I think that's why maybe it's tough for Nick Foles to answer the questions.
Do you think the Bears are kind of slow playing this in terms of having him accessible because of the uncertainty surrounding his role? Because, look, you mentioned Mariota and I mentioned Brady. Philip Rivers pledged his undying love for Indianapolis already.
The difference is all the other guys that you mentioned chose to sign with the teams that they're going to. Nick Foles was traded to the Bears. He didn't have a say in the matter. And the thing that you have to wonder is if the Jaguars had cut Nick Foles because of his contract and the decision to go with Minshew as their quarterback going forward, would Nick Foles have elected to sign with the Bears? And I don't think the answer is yes. I think there were probably other opportunities for him, or there would have been other opportunities for him that he probably would have enjoyed more than coming to the Bears. And I say that not because of the relationship that he may have with Matt Nagy or John DeFilippo, Bill Lazor, and the coaches that the Bears have on the offensive side of the ball. I say it because I go back to what Brian Baldinger said yesterday about the Bears offense as a whole. There isn't much talent there. You heard Chris Collinsworth talk about this during the Sunday night game between the Bears and the Chiefs during the season, that Allen Robinson, by far and away, and it's not even close, by far and away the Bears' best offensive weapon, on the Super Bowl championship team, the Kansas City Chiefs, would be at best, maybe, not definitely, maybe, the third best option for Patrick Mahomes.
That is true, Zach. But also, you can't deny the fact that Nick Foles probably looks at, you know, leaving Jacksonville for his career was the best thing. He's going to a team where there is familiarity, there's comfort, and there's a defense, and there's not pressure on him to be the guy.
There's also familiarity and comfort with Philadelphia, for example, and they ended up signing Nate Sudfeld as their backup to Carson Wentz. And I go back to this. If If Nick Foles had an opportunity to choose where he could go, wouldn't you rather go there than here?
Well, I can't wait to ask him if we ever get a chance to speak to a Nick Foles. I'm looking forward to speaking to Dave Wannstedt. You know, he has been a guy that we want to know how he's doing, what he thinks of the Bears' moves, what he thinks of moving the NFL draft back. We will talk to Wani next. Zach Zabin's in for Mully. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Dave Wannstedt, hanging out with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Zach Zabin's in for Mully this week, and we are pleased to bring in our guy, Dave Wannstedt. And Dave joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Coach. How you doing down there?
I'm good, David. And Zach, right?
So yes.
In for Mully. Yes, I got you. What's Mully, what's he, quarantine, self-quarantine, or is he just taking some time?
He's taking some time, Dave. He was planned to take this time off. He took the week with his family, and he's sticking to it. And I'm wondering, how are you coping with everything? And we know you're rehabbing your knee still. How are things going?
Everything's great down here in Naples, yes. It's kind of good timing because I had it done, you know, obviously we had the Super Bowl right after the Super Bowl, about a week thereafter. And so, because right now, as we all know, everything's at a standstill. So I'm just doing the rehab, and it's good. Everything's good. Absolutely.
Wani, I wanted to ask you, because the NFL is basically changing the rules a little bit for teams to make the playing field even, as, if you will, as they head toward the draft. And they don't want teams working from the facility, all that kind of stuff, as I'm sure you've read. But when it comes to the draft, I guess the biggest thing is the inability from this point forward to take a look at medicals going forward with players like Tua and so on and so forth. But what I wanted to know is, at this stage, as an evaluator in the National Football League, you would already know who you want to take. You would already be dialed in on the players that you want to take in this draft, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And really, the only thing, this time, I'll tell you who this really helps at this time, are those down the lot late draft picks and free agent kids. And to give you an example, and I won't give any names here, but they had, I do some work with some agents here, help them out. And they come down here to Naples, and they bring their kids, and their kids stay down here because of the weather, and they train at a facility, and they workouts, and it's classroom, and it's get ready for the all-star games and the draft, really, and the combine. And so what's happened, though, a lot of these kids were not at the combine, and they're late-round picks. And this was always an opportunity for them to shine when we would go to their schools and our scouts would go to their schools. And now the kid, you know, I mean, when I was at Pitt, a la – they would come to the school to work out Darrell Revis or LeSean McCoy. Well, we would have 10 players there. And we had a lot of kids that I thought were free agent guys. We had a lot of players like Deion Lewis that were down-the-line players. And so their workout at this time was had more of an impact to help them, if you follow me, than what a first-round draft pick would. So what they're doing now, and they just had a workout down here in Florida, and I kind of went up and supervised it. And they had players down here going through all the drills and stuff and then sending these tapes to the teams because the scouts can't be here. So they're trying to, you know, to get these kids out in front of you. To answer your question, a guy like Tua that's going to be a first-round draft pick, they pretty much know everything that they need to know. The only question mark on a Tua, a first-round pick, would be if he's coming off an injury, which he is he going to be ready next month or next year?
Dave, we haven't talked to you since the Bears have made their moves, and they have been busy, and they have, you know, signed Robert Quinn to upgrade their pass rush. They overpaid, in my opinion, Jimmy Graham to be the threat in the red zone, but they also traded for a quarterback. Nick Foles comes in, and we think that he could be in the mix. It's going to be an open competition. How much did the Bears improve themselves with the moves they have made so far?
Well, I'm going to jump on a table. You know, guys know how I feel about Mitch, okay? So I'm going to say, first of all, I love what Ryan Pace, the decision that him and George McCaskey made at this point in saying that we are going to approach free agency and the off season to win now. Because, and you guys have heard me talk about it, you know, that window of opportunity is open right now with that defense, but it's going to close. It's going to close in the next couple of years. You've got to hit it now. And by, I think the two most important signees, you can talk all you want about Nick Foles, and I think are Danny Trevathan and getting Robert Quinn. Because I think these two guys, number one, they've got Super Bowl rings on their finger. They know what it takes. And they are veteran guys that have produced, a la, in my opinion, like Akeem Hicks, okay? So I think that was outstanding. Nick Foles, you know, Nick, here's what Nick Foles is. Don't look at his numbers because, you know, his numbers are average, right? I mean, really, when you look at his numbers, interceptions, the touchdowns, and what he's done, the thing that Nick Foles brings to the table, which obviously a lot of quarterbacks haven't done, is win in the big game. And so if he's healthy and if he's in there, everybody's going to be saying, well, he was the MVP of the Super Bowl. He did it at Philly. He can do it here. Well, you know, it didn't happen last year at Jacksonville. I think it's a good addition. I think it's going to give the offense a little bit of spark, but I think it has really, and hear what I'm saying, I think it's really put Mitch Trubisky behind the eight ball. And by that, I mean, I think Mitch comes out of this thing being the starter, but I think that fans and media are going to be sitting there waiting for his first interception. And the first interception that he throws or the first sack fumble he has, they're going to be screaming for Foles, and that's going to be the end of Mitch. He is in a tough situation.
But to be fair, he was in a tough situation last season. The Bears just didn't have a backup quarterback that they could trust.
I don't buy that. I don't buy that. I don't think they use Mitch right. I really don't. I go back to that Dallas game, you know, when they ran the ball 30-some times and they played defense and they ran Mitch and the ball came out quick. I mean, it's a philosophy thing. In my mind, you can win with Mitch, okay? Now, whether Mitch is going to win a Super Bowl for you, I don't know that. I mean, I'm not going to go that far. I'm not that crazy, okay? But like, he's not Aaron Rodgers there. Aaron Rodgers has done it. Nick Foles has done it. But I'll tell you what, Nick Foles has been injured. And you look at some of his numbers. The best year Nick Foles had is when, 2007, when he was at Philadelphia with Chip Kelly. You know, that, if you want to get real about it, right? I mean, let's really look at this thing close. So, you know, I think it's a good addition. He's as good a person and will help that locker room as he off the field as he is on the field. I love everything about Nick Foles, but we'll see. I'm not as excited about the offense. At the end of the day, I think they've helped themselves some, but I can see things happening on defense. I'm not sure on offense.
Yeah, Wani, you make a great point.
Yeah.
Sorry, David. I was going to say, Wani, you make a great point in terms of the lack of weaponry around the quarterback position on the offense. But when you look at because I think most people would agree the philosophy offensively maybe has to change a little bit. And given
what is the philosophy?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because when you look at the new assistants that they brought in to surround Matt Nagy on the offensive side of the ball, does that give you an idea of the philosophy that they're going in?
No. You know what it tells me? Is it Matt, which I love what he did from the standpoint, I mean, I think Harry Heistad is as good offensive line coach as there is in the NFL, and most people will tell you that. But what he did was he surrounded himself with people that he's more comfortable with, and he probably should have done that year one, and these guys probably weren't available contracts. I don't know what the details were, but that's what he's done. He's got a group of guys now that he's worked with, that have been in the foxholes with him in good and bad, and that means something. That definitely means something when you're trying to get off the ground. Philosophy-wise, it doesn't really tell me anything.
Talking with Dave Wonstead here on The Score. And Dave, I like the Robert Quinn signing as well. I think it improves their pass rush. But to do that, you gave up on Leonard Floyd if you're Ryan Pace. They signed Jimmy Graham in large part because Adam Shaheen didn't work out. How hard is it for a talent evaluator, especially a guy in Pace's position? You've been in that seat to give up on a first-round draft pick and knowing what a move to sign guys like this say about your ability not to hit on those first-rounders or high draft picks like Shaheen.
Well, you're not going to hit on everybody. That doesn't bother me at all. You know what? I used to look at it this way. Okay, everybody wanted to get rid of player X. I won't name guys. I said, okay, fine. Who's going to take his place? Somebody just tell me, okay? I'm looking at the depth chart like everybody. I don't see anybody that can give us more than he gives us. So if I would look at Ryan Pace, hey, he replaced Floyd. He brought in Quinn. I think it's an upgrade. I look at it as a positive move. Forget about when the guy was drafted. I would not lose sleep over that. I really wouldn't.
I think that the thing that stands out is with the Quinn addition opposite Khalil Mack and a healthy Akeem Hicks, the defense can be even more dominant than it was last year, where they didn't generate the takeaways that we saw in Matt Nagy's first year. But I think in order to maximize the efficiency of that defense, it's imperative that the Bears change their philosophy from an offensive standpoint. And you know, it used to be when Nagy was hired, Wani, the big thing was you got to sling the ball all over the field. Everybody was looking for that kind of a coach. But as we saw last season, if you can consistently run the football, even when other people know that it's coming, like Tennessee did, like San Francisco did, you can really do some damage in the NFL today. And that, I think, it's imperative for them to do that in order to take advantage of the guys they have on defense and, like you said, the win now philosophy.
Absolutely. And they got one guy that I know that can do it, David Montgomery. I mean, he needs opportunities. I mean, you know, you can't run the ball 7-8 times a game and expect that to make a difference in the outcome. You really can't, you know. And, you know, I thought that made a difference with the Chiefs. And everybody wants to, you know, talk about Andy Reid and Matt Nagy and, you know, on and on and on. Well, you know, the Chiefs, the difference was when Williams came in at running back and they start running the ball and doing things with him, you know, that made a difference. And, you know, I know it made a big difference in the Super Bowl. There was no question about that. So, that's critical. That's critical, and that takes pressure off your defense. It gets them playing less plays. It keeps them rested. It changes the field position. I mean, that's my cup of tea. So we could talk for hours on that.
Dave, you worked in Tampa Bay for the Glazers. Just curious what you thought about Tom Brady's choice of the Buccaneers over every other team he could have signed with and what that says about, you know, him joining that franchise and what it does for them as a football team.
Well, they raised ticket prices, so they got that done, you know. That didn't take them long.
No.
And they're selling jerseys. I don't know if they get a cut of that. But no, seriously, and I'm pretty close to that situation, I think he looked at it two ways. I mean, when you look at their tight end, when you look at Howard and their two receivers, and actually three receivers, and you got an offensive coach in Bruce Arians that's going to throw the ball around, you know, their defense, and I don't have it in front of me. David, you're pretty quick on that computer there. Their defense with Todd Bowles, they ended up in some categories in the top 10 in the league, if I'm correct on that. They got a lot better as the year went on. They got better and better and better and better. So I think Tom's looking and he's saying, you know, the weather's going to be nice. And, you know, I've got an offensive coach that's completely opposite of Belichick. I mean, you know, Bruce is about as laid back and fun to be around as anybody. And now I've got talent. I mean, keep in mind, the Patriots had the second. Yeah, is Tom's skill level going down? Absolutely. But also, they had the second most drops of any team in the NFL last year, the receivers at New England. So he ain't getting it. You're talking about not getting any help.
Dave, you're very astute. In 2018, the Buccaneers were 27th in the league in defense. Todd Bowles, yep, in 2019, they were improved up to 15th. So that's quite a big jump. If they make another similar jump,
yep,
that's going to be a unit that I think can, you know, give the Buccaneers the balance that they'll need if they want to really contend for a playoff spot.
Yeah, and I think they'll compete. You know, I mean, every week you go into it, and I'll tell you what, I'm down here in Naples. And we got people down here, obviously, that are Patriot fans, all fans, and they're buying season tickets because they just want to go see. You're not just going seeing. So, I mean, you're seeing the greatest quarterback that's ever played our game, you know. So there's a lot of sports fans, football fans, regardless of their team allegiance, they're going to go to Buck games and because they want to see Tom Brady, you know. It's like going to see Michael Jordan play when he would go to city. It truly is.
You're the best, Dave. Take care of yourself. Good luck with your rehab, and thanks for joining us this morning.
All right, guys. Good talking to you. Bye-bye.
Dave Wannstedt, the regular staple of the Mullen Haw Show, former Bears coach, former coach of the Buccaneers special teams, former coach at a lot of places, Zach. And his point about the Buccaneers raising ticket prices was funny. But he's going to be loyal to Mitch Trubisky. I think he likes Mitch. He makes some interesting points about the defense and the Bears. Good to get Wanny's take.
I agree with him. Don't you think that, well, first off, by the way, his point on Brady, that's a guy who people go to the computer and immediately buy tickets for,
yes,
or pick up the phone. Cam Newton at this stage of his career is not. Cam Newton 5 years ago, absolutely. That's the difference, by the way, when you talk about the L.A. situation. And in terms of Trubisky, I think you can win games with Trubisky. I don't think you'll ever be able to win a championship with him or consistently win in the playoffs with him, but I think you can win a lot of regular season games with Trubisky. The problem is, the way the offense went last season, for a variety of different reasons, just didn't put Trubisky in a position to be the best that he could possibly be. And I think you failed the defense by not complementing it with a different philosophy from the offensive standpoint.
He's Zach Zabin in for Mullen this week. Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Trubisky floats one, a juggle. And Gabriel's not going to have nearly enough for a first down.
And you know what that is, another three and out for the Bears. And the boos start early here.
Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Zach Zabin is in for Mully this week. And Zach, it's always great to talk football with Wanny, especially when we haven't had a lot of things to talk about except for football. But he comes on. He's down in Naples. He's going to rehab. He's got a knee, and he's taking care of that. But he made an interesting point, and I think he understands better than anybody listening and anybody in front of a microphone this morning. He understands what Bears fans are like, and he understands the fickle nature of the Chicago sports media, and he understands that the first time, if Mitch Trubisky is the starter from week one, Mitch has an overthrow, Mitch has a three and out, as we heard coming into this segment, or Mitch throws an interception, that the boo birds will be out, the questions will be asked, and the scrutiny will continue. And this is a tough place to play quarterback. It's a tough market. Yeah, he might be the starter week one, but I think what Wanny's really saying is, Nick Foles is going to probably impact more football games because of the difficulties if Mitch struggles. There's not going to be, there's almost like a zero tolerance policy on Bears quarterbacks next year.
What year is this for Trubisky?
It's his fourth, 42nd start. His next start will be his 42nd regular season start.
So I feel like for the 2017 number two overall pick, I mean, you're drafted there because there's a belief that you can play at an extremely high level. you can raise the level of play of everyone around you, and you can handle pressure. And if he can't, I'm sorry. Next man up. I think every time that you're under center and not performing at a high level of play, and the team believes that you're not giving the squad an opportunity to win, there should be pressure. There should be a guy that you can turn to in those situations. And that's what the Bears did this offseason. And I think last year, if there was an option they trusted, like Nick Foles, and they didn't have one in Chase Daniel, but if they had a Nick Foles option last season, they would have gone to it. And Mitchell Trubisky would not have been the starter for the entire season. I think that's safe to say, just based on what we saw last season. You have a defense that's ready to win right now. And if the offense is holding that defense back, well, you owe it to your team to put the best possible quarterback in there that you have on your roster in order to be able to win. Now, do I think you can win games with Mitchell Trubisky? Yes. Do I think you can win games with Mitchell Trubisky without having a balanced offense? No. And if they don't change their philosophy on offense from what it was last season, then I don't think you're going to see Mitchell Trubisky as the starting quarterback for very long in 2020. Now, to be fair, there are not a lot of weapons around Trubisky. You have Allen Robinson. You have Tariq Cohen. I think most people believe that David Montgomery, David, can be a big weapon and a big part of what the Bears do offensively. But for a variety of different reasons, we didn't get to see the best of David Montgomery last year. So it would be nice if by the end of the draft, we look at the Bears from an offensive standpoint and look at the personnel and say, man, they've dramatically improved. And they've tried. You know, they brought in Jimmy Graham. And he was one of two tight ends that they added to the mix this offseason. You know, you'd like to think that a healthy offensive line and a new right guard will help you get a little bit better. But ultimately, if they don't balance things out and go a little bit more to the philosophy, say, of what Tennessee and San Francisco had last season, then it won't be long before you see Foles as the quarterback, because I don't think Trubisky can thrive in that atmosphere.
312-644-6767. You can text us at 67011. Do you agree with Wani, as the 815 texter does, and says, Wani, 100% right. Mitch was misused. And I think Dave has been consistent with that. I think that Matt Nagy, we can agree, sort of lost his way. And they have not done much to address the offensive issues this offseason except for changing the coaching staff. And I don't know if that's going to be enough of a change, enough of a sort of a transformation. It's going to have to happen with the head coach himself, the play caller. But Wani, every now and then, reminds you that he is a football coach, and he is a conservative football coach, and he is a defensive first and running game first football coach. And when he said how excited he was about Robert Quinn and Danny Trevathan, that was a reminder there, Zach, because I think he's got a point. Trevathan, to me, was the right move over Kwiatkowski if you're going to choose one over the other, and they had to. Robert Quinn was an upgrade, but I don't think you went into this offseason with that being your number one priority. To me, the number one priority was quarterback, and then fixing the offensive line was a close second, and then a weapon was a close third, and then tight end was maybe fourth, and then the defense. But Wani loves the moves they made on defense because it reinforces this idea that the Bears want to be, and they're going to be, a defensive-first football team once again.
Right, but keep this in mind, and this is where I think Wani got excited, is once you go out and you make the commitment to Khalil Mack, like they did a couple of years ago when they traded the two first-round picks and changed the course of this franchise, when you make the commitment to a guy like Mack, you better maximize what he means to your defense. And it's astonishing to me. All this stuff's related, because that first year that Mack was there, the Bears were able, and they were a lot healthier defensively than they were last season. They generated a great deal of turnovers. And with that number of turnovers, they put the offense in the best possible position to capitalize. And with those extra possessions, the offense was able to score more points. Last year, for a variety of different reasons. And it started, I think, with the Akeem Hicks injury, losing Trevathan hurt, Leonard Floyd for whatever reason. If you can't take advantage of having the attention that is paid to Khalil Mack on the other side and use that to your advantage, if you can't maximize on that, well, you can't be on the team. And that's why I think they cut him, added Robert Quinn to the mix, and you begin to see this is why I think they can generate a lot more takeaways and put the offense in a better position to score, because clearly the offense needs help doing that with the roster they've got right now. So that's why I think that I agree with what the Bears did from a defensive standpoint, because it'll make the offense a lot better if the philosophy is to complement what the defense is doing.
I have to mention this because you brought up Khalil Mack, and I know you spent a lot of time, like a lot of us, kind of confined to our houses in this most unusual of weeks. You're on social media, so you're doing a lot of surfing. And I know you like to go back and watch old Kareem Abdul-Jabbar tapes, as you did the other day. And who was last night, Zach? Bob Lanier or Wes Unseld? But if you were to do some scanning on social media, did you see Pro Football Focus? And we have a lot of respect for the research they do and the analytics they produce, but did you see Pro Football Focus wonder rhetorically and discuss whether the Bears regret giving up draft picks for Khalil Mack? Did you see that discussion ensue? Because that was the most ridiculous thing I saw on social media yesterday.
David, go and read every first-round draft pick by the Bears since they fired Jerry Angelo.
Every first-round draft pick since Jerry Angelo?
Yeah, well, basically okay, from 2012 on.
2012 was Shea McClellan. 2013 was Kyle Long. Then we had Kyle Fuller. 2015, Kevin White. 2016, let's see, Leonard Floyd. 2017, Mitch Trubisky. 2018, didn't have one. 2019, didn't have one, correct?
Yeah, you didn't have
one. Oh, no, 2018 was Roquan Smith. 2019, right. Didn't have one. This year, you don't have one because of Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack was worth what you gave up to get him because you are a different team and a different franchise because of the trade that you did make. So, I don't know. Come on. What are you arguing on behalf of your, are you wondering that?
No, I think that answered the question emphatically in your favor, is that you got a franchise player. The Bears have not drafted a true franchise-changing player in the first round in forever. Kyle Long was a very good first-round pick. Kyle Fuller was a very good first-round pick. But in the Ryan Pace era, they haven't drafted that player. Khalil Mack is that player for them.
So you didn't watch that on social media yesterday? You didn't see that? What did you do with
that? I did see that didn't PFF ask give a football story in three words? And
yes.
I believe and what did you tweet out?
I did like that game. I did like that one on PFF. They said a happy football story in three words, and my three words were hand off to Peyton.
See, I would have used fade to black or good as gold.
You're just pandering to Joniak. That's all you're doing. How about touchdown? Touchdown, Bears.
I just know anytime you hear fade to black, there's going to be a happy recap. And that's what you're looking for, right?
See, and you knew in those days, and you know in these days, if there's a happy recap, there's a happy Jeff Joniak. And the world is better when Jeff Joniak is happy.
And there's a lot more touchdown Bears, right? And I think in order to get there, I think it starts with defense. You know, the shame of it is that Trubisky will never be the kind of player that the Bears thought they were getting when they drafted him. But that doesn't mean that you still can't win a ton of games going forward. But in order to do that, I think you have to adjust the line of thinking. Now, with Nick Foles being added to the mix, that tells me that I don't think there's going to be a major adjustment philosophically in the way the Bears are thinking.
And Zach, speaking of great broadcasters, we are going to bring in one when we come back. Ron Coomer is going to join us on the Mully and Haw Show. Zach Zabin's in for Mully. Join us. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.